Stephen, congratulations on your first 10 years with the BBC, the place where they said you wouldn't work ever.
Yeah, they did. And then quite a few people told me I would never survive, Jerry. And it's actually scary when you say I'm here 10 years, because I've always genuinely thought it'll probably end quite soon. I think there is an insecurity in all presenters, and I'm certainly one of them.
You obviously never thought back in 2004 that you would be celebrating a 10th anniversary with the BBC.
No, definitely not. It is my dream, and always has been my dream, to work in the BBC. And for some reason, I was drawn to it as an organisation. And I remember driving past and seeing the BBC up in the building here in Ormo Avenue. And I just wanted to be in here, and they said no for a very, very long time, and it hurt me for a very long time.
But persistence won out at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think I made the mistakes when I was young of being overly persistent, because it gave people an excuse in here to label me as a nuisance, which I still feel sore about. I still find it very difficult to talk to some of those people in here who went out of their way to shun me, and that's probably my fault rather than theirs. But I was very, very driven. I was very, very ambitious, and I didn't like the way the door was kept closed in my face. I just didn't like that. It's hard when you're young getting a break.
Yeah. But why the BBC? Why did you want so much to be part of the BBC? You were being very successful on independent radio. You'd won a handful of Sony Awards by then.
I had, but call it what you want. I don't know if it was just instinct or whatever.
Is there a snobbish quality about it?
There was no snobbish quality, absolutely not. I just genuinely recognised, as I still do, the BBC as one of the best broadcasting organisations in the world. And I wanted to be part of it. And I thought there was a gap in the output. I thought I could possibly bring something to the organisation, and I respected it. That's at the very top of it, actually. When I listened, I liked it. When I looked at it, I liked it. And when I travelled around the world, it was the BBC being talked about. And I wanted to do news. I passionately wanted to do news. And I guess if you want to do news, this is one of the organisations to be in. I had a brilliant time at UTV. And people like you and all were very, very kind to me when I was at UTV. And the story is that we're probably talking about, and the tears come to my eyes as I even think about this again, but we're probably about 2 years into a sustained period where I was writing and phoning the BBC on a weekly basis, and they weren't replying to me, and it wasn't pleasant. And a very senior person in here who did think I had some modicum of talent brought me into this building and showed me an email that a senior executive had sent around the other managers. And the email read, "Stephen Nolan is not to be touched. He will never work here." And this guy showed me that, and he said to me, "That's what you're up against."
Wow.
And I walked out of here crying. And I walked out of here devastated. So I walked straight out of this building, and I walked up the road to the UTV still in tears. And I asked to see the news manager up there, who's a guy called Rob Morrison. And I had been torturing Rob as well, but he let me in the building, and he spoke to me. And he said to me, "There is nothing for you here. We don't have any slots. Go and do a media course. Go and get this out of your system somewhere." And I'd said that was fair enough, and I walked out. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, he had messed up in a little minor way, in that he had allowed Pamela Ballantyne and Frank Mitchell and whoever else to take their holidays at the same time, and he was short of someone to come in and kind of do the very, very low work while the others stepped up for those guys. And I was the person in his head.
Wow.
Because I'd been in there, and he brought me in, and they sent me out one day to do Vox Pops, and I came back with a mini feature for them.
I remember this.
And I remember just the kind of look in their eyes where, "No, we've only sent you out to do Vox Pops." And I think I had bought an inflatable dolphin and jumped into the sea somewhere. And they just thought, "Who was this guy?"
So that was the break, really.
That was the break.
That was the start of it.
Yeah, that was
most people, when they get rejection letters like that, would have crumbled underneath them. You must have great faith in yourself.
Well, there's an interesting question. people will find this very hard to believe, but what drives me is a lack of faith in myself. So I genuinely think I have to work harder, longer, because I'm not too sure how much faith I do have in myself. I know I can do it, but I don't think I can do it naturally.